Thanks a lot for leading us in that worship. Hope you enjoyed yourself. And welcome again to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Welcome online, and we hope you're having a great time over there as well. I just want to go through the announcements pretty quickly here. One, the 2023-2024 school year is upon us. We will have a prayer gathering next Sunday, the 30th, immediately after service, in the chorus room. That's behind us. You have to take stairs, go that way. Please come and pray with our parents, students, grandparents, teachers, school administrators, etc. Thank you. Hope to see you there, youth and family. Amen. Please, let's join them there, and we will talk about prayer today. I didn't tell them, but for some reason, it's here today. So we'll talk about it. Another announcement is we're having Cultural Sunday on August the 20th. So please be planning on that. We're going to come out with some details. We'll need some people to help out with setting that up. As you know, we all cook food, and you bring your food out based on your culture. You can dress up based on your culture, amen? We will get some invitations out once we get a new name. So let's be planning on that as well, and we'll have a great time together. As well, this is the final week of voting for the new name. Brothers and sisters, we came up with suggestion names, and now we have two names for the running, amen? Community Church, COCG. That's how it'll read. We will not be saying Church of Christ in Gwinnett. That'll be how it'll read. Community Church, COCG, and that's what it'll be. Or Church of Christ in Gwinnett. All right? Those are the two names you're voting for. Maybe your name wasn't in there that you wanted, but now that we got those names, pray and vote. Amen? Wednesday, we get a new name. So I want to encourage you to pray and vote. And let God lead you. Please, we all need everyone to vote there. We are falling behind a bit today. I think I looked at that and Danny Emmett. We had about 78 people. Last week, you had 125 at this day. So get home, get to it, and let's get voting. And whatever name wins, we go with that. Amen. That'll be our church name, and we'll go with that. And we are trying to reboot a lot of things, but we're going to do this together. So pray about it. Vote in God's name will be glorified. Amen. And may the best name come out. But when it's all said and done, it's the culture of the church. All right? So don't get caught in the name too much. The culture of the church is what counts. Does that make sense? We can have all kinds of names, but if we don't reflect Christ, well, that wasn't too good for us. So we're going to get a name, but the bigger work is in with the body of Christ, and that's where we're going. Amen. Finally, but not least, is today we have a baptism happening, so please let's welcome in advance Angel, who is getting baptized to do a two. She's over there. Show up, please, and have a great time over there. As well, our brother Amelka was restored this Tuesday. Amelka Summer. There is. Hermana, welcome. I learned that from him, so that's good stuff. Amen. Great. Let's talk about prayer. It is interesting whenever I'm writing messages and I come, and then all this prayer is going on, and I'm like, I didn't tell them, just in case you think we have to sit down and map it out. We don't. We just pray and make God work this one out. But I wanted to talk about prayer praying. I've just said prayer there because you can pray about anything. You can pray about your financial situation. You can pray about your health situation. You can pray about emotional situation. You can pray about life situations. Anything. You can pray about anything. Anything that you think of, you can pray about it. In church, one of the things we must do better as a congregation, we must be a praying church. We can't just be a thinking church. We have to become a praying church. As we get a new name, that's great. But the cultural shift we must make is we must become more prayerful in our lives. And I want to ask you, how often do you pray? How frequent do you get into it? And when you start praying, is that something that you take time with? Or is it something that you just, you know, let me just say anything. I'm supposed to pray, and whatever words I say, I've said it, that's prayer. To me, prayer is a connection with God. Prayer is a conversation with God that allows me to put my heart out and for God to hear me. So it's not a flimsy, willy-nilly conversation, but I can say, talk to God anywhere, any place. I pray in my car. I pray when walking. I pray when sitting. Sometimes I pray in bed. At 12 midnight and I'm not sleeping, I can go to prayer. And I will find that I may not say amen eventually, but I will sleep. Amen? Now, some of you guys caught in the logistics of that and say, how did that happen? The Lord helped me though. Because sometimes I'm just praying for sleep. Amen? So he answers it. And so sometimes we are caught in how it looks and all that stuff. We're caught so much in the looks that we forget the substance. The substance is what counts. It's not so much the looks and all that stuff. And so church also is all about the substance of us. It's not so much the name, and we need a good name, but the substance of what we are is what really counts. And so here, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So I want to say that if you understand discipleship, the word disciple is a student. A person is that's constantly learning. And I want to talk to us as a congregation, all of us, that we have to be in the spirit of learning. Don't settle because of life. And life can make you settle. But I want you to challenge yourself to be in the spirit of learning like they did. And they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now you've known the Lord's Prayer. In some places you're going to go through the whole thing. But today I want to talk about different prayers a little bit. So it's important that you learn how to pray on a regular basis. Here's what I've found. In my early ages as a young disciple, I always knelt down to pray. And in those days, I was caught up in how long I prayed. So if I prayed for 10 minutes and the goal was an hour, I'll start fudging words to figure it out to get to an hour, because that was what I had in mind. And so over time, I found that I wasn't talking to God. I was busy trying to meet my goal. So you see that that's not a relationship, right? That I am doing something else there. And so as a church, we must not be doing that. We must be talking to God. Imagine me sitting down with my wife and telling her, I've got an hour to talk to you. And let's do it for an hour. I just talked to you for 10 minutes. Let's keep going. Let's look for an hour. And that's how we talk with God sometimes. And yet, for a real conversation, a real prayer, is not an hour. It's the substance of it, the honesty of it, and the heart behind what you're driving. And so I began to realize as I went past it, and then I was doing more things, and the church was bigger and other things. And I thought because the church was bigger, somehow I had to do all of these things, but I realized, no, I need to depend on God. And that was a minute by minute thing. It's an hour by hour thing. It's not like I did a prayer in the morning and somehow that covers the day. I'm in connection with God the whole day. Now, when I did the morning thing only, that's, you've heard me say, I was a Christian by 6 o'clock, but by 10, I wasn't really looking like a Christian. You know that look, you know how that feels like. By 10, you're running on your energy and you're really out of it. But when you're walking with God, you're peaceful, you're loving, you're joyful, and you're able to, because you're praying short prayers continuously. You're making Nehemiah prayers. You're making all kinds of prayers, and Jesus prayers, and Paul prayers, and Simon Peter's prayers, and all kinds of prayers, Elijah prayers, and they're going through your life every day. Amen? So we've got to learn to pray to connect with God, not to fill an hour. Having said that, I'm not going to sit here and tell you must pray a certain length. But I'm telling you, when you have a relationship with God, you'll find it hard to stop to pray. I can guarantee you that. I have that problem now that I have to say, you know, we got to go on to other things, but I can pray while I'm moving around. Does that make sense? But it's no longer the idea of filling the hour. It's I'm just talking to God. And I ask him to guide us through that. Okay, surrendered prayer. So let's talk about that. Matthew 26, 42 to 44. The Bible reads, he went away a second time and prayed, Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. I want to talk about the surrendered prayer of Jesus because we know the story. This is Jesus about to go on the cross. He's been betrayed by, not yet betrayed, but he's talking to his disciples there, trying to help them to be with him during this hard time. He goes back and forth and he finds them asleep, but he prays and he says, for my Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. He's open to the fact that this is, may not be God's will. And if you think about it, if I look at my life and the way I've prayed, sometimes I'm never open to that conversation. I'm never open to the idea that it's not God's will. I somehow sit down, think about things, and I say, I'm going to ask God, and God is going to give it to me because I'm his son. Pretty entitled. I am the son of God. You got to give it to me. I'm your son or I'm your daughter. And so we don't know how to be. And when you do that, you jam yourself in anxiety. You get angry when you don't get it. You get very anxious because you've now determined the results before the source who gives has given it to you. And then you see a lot of unhappy Christians. And I'm like, yeah, but the way you live your life is entitled. You don't give it to God. You almost live in the world of, God must give it to me because I'm his son. Well, you will see that the Lord himself prayed, but may your will be done. Let's say that I'm your son. I can't go on the cross. We will not have had the redemption. And yet, if you live your life long enough, you will see that the things you thought were your failures was God actually working out things for you because he works out for the good of everyone. But if you're set in a worldly sense that it must look a certain way, you may not see the hand of God. Why? Because you're so caught in tunnel vision, you're not opening up yourself to God's will. Then you feel miserable and unhappy as a Christian, and you wonder what's wrong with that. It's because you're caught up, it has to look a certain way. I am a minister. This is where I wish the church looks like, but I don't do that. I just say, I work God, but can you make it grow? Make it work it out. Otherwise, I can get controlling, manipulative, attacking. Does that make sense? No, I have to give it to God and work with people with where they are. Does that make sense? What about your personal life? He did that. When you're surrendered, it's not lack of ambition, lack of commitment. It's trusting. You're faithful. You're faithful to what God is doing. So you keep going. I like to say it's like being with a GPS hoping to hit 85 south, but then you get on back streets and all you're doing is 45 miles and 25 miles. But you were hoping for 70 down the road, but now you're just doing 45 and 35. But you're getting there though. And you're seeing a lot of houses and you wish you just had on good road that you're going pretty fast. And so we get desperate because we wanted to be on 85 south or north. But now we're in the back streets of 25 miles an hour. And a lot of bumps and you got to go slow and all that stuff. And then we think life is a misery. Oh, enjoy it. See the houses. Surrender to God. One of the things we like to say, but life is, I have only one life. It has to happen right now. Well, do you know what God's plan is for you? I mean, if I had walked the way I wanted to play soccer in Europe, in France. That is where I was headed. At 17, my legs couldn't walk anymore. I'm like, okay, now let's find plan B. Let's go back to school. It was an early lesson to accept God's direction. I was the guy that never wanted to be in the ministry. They're always saying, I think he could be in the ministry. I'm like, no, I'll make money and pay for guys to be in the ministry. They said, no, you're the guy. God always has a way of getting you eventually. And I want to ask you, what's your personal things that you're not surrendering? Because I think some of us today are stuck in spaces because we will never surrender it to God. You're not happy. You are stuck because there's stuff that you will just not surrender, which is trust God, stay faithful, friendships, whatever it is, God will provide for you. Does that make sense? But be faithful. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He doesn't say when and how. He doesn't say that. But you have to be delighting, be faithful, and have a great time, and God will do amazing things. Amen? God provides for our needs. Let's read this. This is not a prayer. It's a request that came from a gentleman. Here, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, Peter looked straight at him as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them because he was asking for money. But instead he says, then Peter said, silver or gold we do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He came looking for money or gold or silver, but he got walking. He was excited. It changed his life. Sometimes we're so caught up in asking for silver and gold, but God is giving you health. You're constantly lacking for silver and gold, but God is giving you health. You know, if you have a healthy body, it's an amazing gift from God. Being healthy is an amazing gift of God. One wise man once told me, if you have a problem that money can resolve, that's not a problem. Yeah, you can sort that out. There are things that money cannot resolve. That's a real problem. You need God. You need help from all kinds of people. If you're just looking for money, it'll make you comfortable, but it doesn't resolve the problem. And you always assume, if I just had money, I'll be happy. No, I'm not sure. I think you may be comfortable. That I can tell you. Happy, that's another story. And the point I want to make here is that he was looking for certain things, but God provided for health. So when you're praying, you need to hear what God is doing in your life. Sometimes you're so caught up in the answer you want, you never get to see what God is doing in your life. I remember praying for my first car, and I said, God, give me a VW Golf GTI Mark 4. I got an 18-year-old Mazda 3. Rear-wheel drive. It'd get on, but not like a Golf GTI. And I'm so grateful because I didn't have the senses of danger then. At 29, I was just cruising. Let's see how fast it can go. So God answered me and says, you know, I give you life, man. Forget your Mark 4. Well, we need you, alive around here. So you don't see that stuff, and you can get very miserable with stuff like that. Why? Because you've reduced your definition of life in that space. God is an infinite in nature. And his power is infinite, and you and I cannot fathom that. So we have to engage in that space and let God lead us in every aspect that we're dealing with. And trust him and let him lead us. But we have to be surrendered. He'll provide for your needs. Don't be sad just because things are not coming in the time you want. Trust God to lead you every day. Amen? So some things are answered quickly, some are answered later, but God is on time. It is you that has a problem of perspective. But if you surrender yourself to God, you will enjoy life as you journey along. God provides us for what we need. So, church, the question is, what is it that you are trying to go to God for? And is he giving you a different answer? Because we always think that an answered prayer is what I want. But is he giving a different answer? He gave him what he needed. Health, not money. Because now he has a body that can make that money now. He has everything he needs to make that stuff. And we have to do that. And as a church, we have to learn prayer, relationships, trusting God, being faithful, and helping others know God, and being faithful, and all the things that the body of Christ does, being there for the sick, for the poor, and everything else that we can do together. Sometimes we get what we asked for. Let's talk about this. In James 5, 17, 18, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed honestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Let's talk about this subject. Many people read this scripture and says, Elijah was just a human being like me. I'm going to pray. And then we now get down to the issue and we say, I didn't have enough faith. That's why I did not, my prayer was not answered because I did not have enough faith. Or I did not fast. I did not repent. Everything you're saying is all about you. Now you think you're the source of the answers of prayer because I did not have enough faith. It was never about your faith. If you look into the Bible, there are people that God answered didn't have any faith. So when you start saying, I did not have enough faith, and yes, you do need to have it, but it's never about you. It's always about God. So I want us to understand this aspect of Elijah, because when people read that and start saying, well, they start checking themselves and making themselves the source of getting the results, almost saying, the more I polish me, the more I'll get the results. It doesn't work like that. The more you go to God and letting God direct you one day at a time. You see, yeah, he did. But we read this and say, why is it not happening for me? It's not about you. Because sometimes you get it. My wife, I think the sisters are doing the impossible prayers right now. And I think some of that has been answered. But I've seen my wife do a lot of those impossible prayers. When our girls were younger, we put them in a jar. We prayed. I'll come home and a year later, it's all answered. I didn't even remember we were praying for it. That's the funny thing, you know. The preacher sometimes doesn't get it sometimes. The family had really got what was going on that issue. But I want to ask you, do you see what God is doing in your life? Because I don't think we get it as people who go to church. Sometimes the world gets it more that God is answering something than we do sometimes. Because we're in the church mode and all that stuff, we're like, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Elijah was able to do that. Sometimes God will give you what you're looking for, but not always. So stop always making it about you by saying, maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I did not fast enough. Maybe I did not work hard enough. Go make it about God. It's a very different ballgame when you switch that, because it's an easier walk with God. It's loving. It is, you can trust God, and it changes things. So I don't know what your story is, but I want to ask you, just trust God. Sometimes you get it. Whether it's on time, I don't know. Most of my life has worked this way. I pray about God and I think this will happen in 6 years. It happens a year later. Yeah, then things I think can happen today happen 4 years later. I'm like, yeah, I used to pray about that stuff. It happened. It's just God is always at work. The thing that we are never in tune with is what time. And that is what frustrates mankind, especially today when I can just go on Google and get the answer right there. I can talk to my phone, it'll give me an answer right there. And now God walks, God is still ancient. God does not run these systems, which is teach me and I give you quick answers. No, you have to trust him because it develops character, it develops trust, it develops faith. If we were just getting anything we wanted, we'd be spoiled people. And everybody will come to church to pray and get what they want and run out. It doesn't work like that. We need to develop these relationships and get it right. And so God does give you what you want sometimes. But the question is, will you trust him when he doesn't? Will you trust him when he does not give it to you? I've had people lose their faith because God didn't give them what they wanted. Get upset with God because this and that. I'm like, God has a better plan for you than what you're looking for. And so stick with God and he'll help you out. So as I end here, I wanted to say, church, we've got to become more prayerful. We can do that in our family groups, but you can also do that as a privately in your own life. Prayerful is that you pray more in your day-to-day life, not just in the morning. Learn to pray in anywhere. Short prayers, 2-minute prayers, 1-minute prayer. It's not the length of it. It's the heart behind it that really counts. It's not for you to be seen. It's just pray privately with God and God will move your life. Does that make sense? If you want to help someone to know God, pray about it and God will lead you to those people. And stay alert to that. If you want your family group to do well, pray about it and God will do that. Does that make sense? As we pray for the new name, pray that God will give us that name and we'll go from there. Does that make sense? There's a lot to be done. We've got ourselves a website to fix. We got other things to fix. But let's start with prayer first. And then we can get to the work. Amen? God bless you.